Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Hello, and welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
This is Ellis.
Thank you for tuning in to us today as we're going to talk about love. Love, life, and relationships. How you doing, Mr. Ellis?
I am trying to love life and relationships.
That's what you're trying to do.
That's what I'm trying to do. All at once. You know, it's a lot going on. Just trying to keep the movement and keep the synergy going. So.
Yep, I hear you. So I just want to give a shout out to my friend Tracy. She and her husband, they do a real cool Instagram live on Tuesday. It's called Talk About a Tuesday. And they've been talking about love lately. So if you can find them on Instagram, do that. I'm going to try and put it in our notes so I can tell you exactly where to go. But it's a real cool podcast little Instagram live, short, maybe 5 minutes that comes out on Tuesday, but it's a lot of fun to watch. But today we're going to talk about love at 50. Mm. You know, I talk to a lot of my friends who are 50 or older, and we talk about some of the good, the bad, and the ugly of finding love at this stage in our lives. You know, at this stage, a lot of us are busy. You know, some of us are still raising children, or we just finished, you know, we got them off to college or whatever. We're still taking care of our parents a lot of times, you know, around this age. So our time is limited. And so it's very important that we spend the time that we have available with the right folks. So let's chat.
Well, you know, I agree with everything you're saying, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, had a few conversations. But, you know, love at 50, I wish that I had the kind of insight or someone in my life to tell me when I was younger what to do and what not to do, and as pertains to relationships.
Okay.
And love at 50 can be frustrating. It can be exciting. But it can also be, I can say, just reflective of all that you know now that you didn't know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can feel like a complete jerk about some of the things that you did, not realizing you had no idea what love was. You shouldn't have been in a certain relationship, should have been able to cut certain things off. It's just been very, very reflective. And it's not easy to reflect back. But with that being said, I think love at 50 has to, you know, for me, it's honest. It's just honest and carefree.
Oh, absolutely. Honesty is key. And by 50, I was talking to an older sister today, and she was reflecting on relationships, and she used the word mistakes. And so I told her, I said, don't use mistakes that you made. You know, everything that we've done, you know, some of it's good and some of it's not so good, but out of everything, there's a lesson.
Yes.
And so you take something from it and you build on. You know, I look at the people that I may have come across in my life as stepping stones to something else. You know, I took what was good about that individual and then look at, you know, what wasn't so great about that individual or how I handle, you know, what wasn't great about the individual and kind of added to the pot for what I want today, you know, what I'm looking for. And I think if we're honest with ourselves.
That's hard to do, though.
What, be honest with ourselves?
Be honest with yourself and then, you know, reflect and add it to the pot. It's not easy. You have to have some good people around you, some good thought process.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You do have to have a good audience and be mindful of who you have in your front row.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have people who are honest, because they will tell you, no, Benita, you know, you should have done this, or you shouldn't have handled it that way. You know, and we have to listen, because we have to trust those people
right,
in order to listen to them, because everybody has an opinion.
Every time I hear this word love, I'm amazed at how many of us have just a definite interpretation of what love is. Like, there is no Webster's dictionary definition for love that people follow. And there's no general definition. And as I look at love and what it means to me at 52, it's not what it meant to me at 25 or 33.
I think it does. It has to evolve. Because I think we love to have our needs met, right? So your needs change, right? Your needs change throughout.
All your needs change.
But, at some point you wanted some simpler things. And now I guess a little bit more, maybe it's still simple, or maybe, it's a little bit more complicated, but you should be more able to pinpoint exactly what your needs are at this point.
So I was talking to my mother about a similar conversation. Okay. And I was talking to her about some of the frustrations I have had with some of my children. And as I was talking to her, I wanted to say to her, why didn't you tell me not to do X, Y, and Z? But I realized she did tell me. She did tell me not to do X, Y, and Z. But I thought I knew at the time what love was, what I needed, and what I wanted. But in looking back on it, I had no idea. And unfortunately, hindsight's 2020. A lot of decisions that I made have impacted some other people, including myself. And not that I have any regrets, but with that being said, I wanted my mom to know in many ways, you were right.
Yeah.
you were right.
Did you tell her?
Yeah, I told her. and I love her response. She was like, well, Ellis, I didn't know what to say. I just was trying to share with you what I knew, which wasn't much. Because, our parents, especially the women, didn't really know a whole lot about love and relationships. So especially if I come from a single parent home, what could she really share with me?
Right.
She was sharing her experience, but it's a small town experience.
Right. And so you down here in the big city, you like, that ain't me.
Well, I
got a different experience.
Well, I think I've always wanted to experience life. Like I hear my son say now, I just want to experience life. I said, but what life do you want to experience? You have to establish what kind of life you want to experience. It can be a reckless experience. You have to make sure that what you are experiencing as it pertains to relationship or life is one is safe. That's going to get you where you want to be at 50. Because experiencing life at 18 or 25 or 30 ain't like experiencing life it is at 52.
Right.
And I wish I had known to kind of project out of like where I want to be, at 50 years old. I have a friend of mine who wants to be, who always wanted to be retired by 50.
Okay.
And so he is on that path. And so he's like 40 and he's been in business for 15 years. He's slated to retire at 50.
Okay.
But that was his mindset.
Right. And so that was his goal and he remained.
Yes. And his dad told him that he was like 5 years old.
Wow.
To begin to plan that out.
Well, when we're in relationships, a lot of times let's say 26. Were you married at 26?
No.
Oh, I got married at 26. Yeah. So I planned at 50 to be celebrating my 24th wedding anniversary, because when you're in these relationships, you love this person today.
Yes.
And then, you're fortunate if you still love this person the same way in 10 years and 15 years, So we didn't make it to 24, needless to say. But that was my hope and that was my plan at the time.
Yeah.
So, but I find, do you find dating easier at 50 than it was at say 25?
I will be completely honest with you. I think dating when I was younger was much more exciting because you didn't have a whole lot. You can make anything a date.
Okay.
And so here recently, I am attempting to kind of get back to that.
Okay.
And not have to have a sit down dinner. You can have a date by being in someone's house. You can have a date by being on the park bench. Mm-hmm. It's though, when I was in college and my idea of a date. I got on my bike. I rode up to somebody's dorm. I said, hey, let's go and walk into the tennis court. So we just walked around campus.
Okay.
And that's how we got to know each other. Mm-hmm. But fact is, I didn't have no money. You know?
Yeah, so, but that was good because time spent is important.
Yes.
Time spent is important. And, you know, I like those kind of dates. I know I had a date long time ago, and we set these parameters that you could only spend $20. That's how much we could spend on this date. Not $20 individually, $120.
$120.
And that was so fun because you had to think outside the box. We're going to spend $20.
I remember going to McDonald's and Nadia.
you still quiver when you say it.
Nadia. Because you lived next to McDonald's. I said, hey, let's go to McDonald's. And she's like, hey, look, you don't eat McDonald's. I'm like, well, let's just try it. So we went and got like, you know, Happy Meals. It was like $6.
Yeah.
And we sat on her front porch. We was eating the Happy Meals. And it was so great. We were laughing. But it was those kind of experiences. Something easy.
And I'm laughing in my head because you always been that size. And you eating a Happy Meal. What was the toy?
Like a little car. It's like a little blue car.
You probably was over there taking her like crabs and you still hungry.
You know, so in college, I was about 180.
Okay.
So I was about, you know, looking at Ellis, I was exact same height as Ellis and very slim. But it was just so funny because as I thought about that, it was so spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were going to McDonald's. So people were always going to McDonald's, little dates and things of that nature. So I'm like, hey, let's do it. And that was our thing. We go to McDonald's and get a little Happy Meal. The pretty soon I get me a little, you know, a little burger, some fries, and a large drink. You know what I'm saying?
Upgraded.
So now I want to get back to those kind of, you know, spontaneous, exciting experiences versus having to go to a restaurant and sit there. And that's one thing I've learned during COVID. There's so many other things to do other than being inside.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get back to that. Mm-hmm. And have fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been tough because I've been conditioned. I'm trying to break out of some habits.
So for me, you know, I meet people, you know, pretty easily, but I find that like the older men don't want to do anything. And I want to do stuff.
I wonder why that is.
Why they don't want to do anything?
You know what? Well, let me say this.
Because they done ran, tore the streets down, and now they just want to sit down and just want somebody to sit down next to them. Nope.
Right. and I was guilty of that, you know, while married. But it wasn't I didn't want to do certain things. It's just I had certain restrictions on just because I was doing so much.
Okay.
So I was trying to conserve my, you know, my energy. Well, now, you know, I do want I'm trying to break out of those habits, put it that way.
Okay.
I'm trying to break out of those habits. So that's the joy of trying to date at this age. I mean, as a man, you got to break out of habits.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to a friend of mine from home, and her last boyfriend was 19 years younger than her. Right.
Uh-huh.
And so she was, and they dated for like 7 years. And I had heard that she was dating someone younger, but I didn't know he was actually 19.
Wow. 19 years younger.
19 years younger than her. And she was just sharing with me some of the challenges that they had. And it really wasn't relational challenges. It was just the age difference in terms of how she saw things and, you know, which is normal, right?
Yeah. Right. Because he has an experience. She's experienced life 19 years longer than he has and at a different level. Also, the way that people communicate, like I've hung out with younger people or even people my age, a little older that, you know, have adopted a lot of practices of younger people and they want to have a whole damn text relationship. I'm not going to texting you like that. You know, we're not going to do that. We have to talk.
Oh, you know,
I have had people that this is the whole everything. And I was clear. You know, the person I'm thinking of right now, he's 58, but all he wanted to do is text. And I said, listen, I'm not going to do this with you. You know, I talk. So, you know, that's one of the challenges, I think, at 50 or 50 plus, you know, when you're dating a person, maybe a little bit younger.
But in defense of texting, you can multitask while you're texting.
Call me when you're done.
You said, call me when you're done.
I don't want to spend my evenings or any of my time with just this phone in my hand, just waiting on you to respond to what I just said. Mm. And then their texting leaves so much space, so much room to misinterpret.
That's true. That is true. And I've learned you got to keep it short. You got to keep the comments short and have multiple, you know, blurbs or blocks or whatever you want to call it. You know, multiple, you got to cut off certain conversations to say, this is what I mean here. Yeah. And you got to wait for the person to respond. Because I've gotten in numerous trouble with texting.
Cancel that. Pick up the phone. You know, yeah, I'm not going to do that. So that's the biggest thing that I have.
So what's the other challenge of dating or finding love at 50? Candidates.
The candidates.
Like, where do we go, you know, to find a suitable person?
What are you looking for? Like, I was telling a person one day, I said, if you want to go to you want a doctor, you got to go to the hospital. Because that's where they at.
That's where they at.
Yeah, that's where they at. You want a man who reads, check out the library or Barnes and Noble. Right, you know, that's where they at. You know, so it's like you got to go for what you're looking for. If you want a man that go to church all the time, he probably at church.
He's somewhere in church.
Yeah, he at church. And you can't go all the time to your own church, you know, just using it as an example, because you know everybody in there.
Yeah.
You know, go to some church hopping. It's all right.
Go to some church hopping, like bar hopping. Yeah. You know, go to church hopping.
Go to a big mega church next week or something, you know.
I don't think we know what we really want until we find it.
Okay.
And like, we have an idea of what we want. And then once we stumble on it, you're like, this is nice. I like that. But otherwise, you're kind of like just searching. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just, we have an idea. Of course, we don't want any drama. That's one thing at 50. You don't want any drama. Don't want any chaos. Don't want any deception. I don't want no lying. Don't tell me you're going to do something. I don't have time for that.
Right.
So my patience is thin. Mm-hmm. It's very, very thin. And last but not least, if you can't communicate, then because at this age, you should be able to have a good conversation, mm-hmm. whether you agree or disagree. And you should also be able to disagree and not have have yourself fall out.
Right.
We don't have to agree. We got our own opinions in this age. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. And like you said, know how to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
Right. You know, I had made a comment about former president. Okay. And someone didn't like that. And she was like, we're just not going to talk about that. And I'm like, oh, no, tell me what you think. And she's like, well, I don't appreciate what you said about Obama. And I was like, interesting. You're taking it personal as though I said it about you. And she paused because she's like, well, I never thought of it that way before. I said, but I never made any derogatory comment about you. I did say something, you know, about him, but it wasn't about you. So how can you be offended behind that? And from that, we had an even better conversation. Because oftentimes we get offended by what somebody else says about somebody else, mm-hmm. and it's never about us. And so I'm like, we're adults. So at this age, we should be able to express ourselves, and as long as it's not about us, you know, allow people to have their viewpoints.
So do we, but like taking that as an example, but we can look at the way or what, I don't know what you said. I can only imagine. But
But we can ask,
like, you know, I want to ask, okay, why do you feel that way? Because sometimes you can take that why and take it and kind of figure out some things about the individual who said it.
So you would do that, right? But there are a lot of people in our age group, we're trying to stay away from conflict or conversations that we're going to have a disagreement with because we're afraid, you know, things are not going to work out. And my argument is...
Why? Because we want to be in these relationships so desperately?
Yes. And we want things, you know, we want to stay quiet on certain things. And I'm in the mindset, if we're going to have a conversation, but we got to be able to talk about some things other than what we agree upon. And that'd be okay.
Right.
You know, and whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, whatever conversation we come up, we all have an opinion. Right. But that's how you get to know people.
Right.
And so, but we, if we can't have tough conversations at our age, then what are we doing?
Right.
Because we can't sit around and, you know, we're going to fall asleep and need a nap.
Right.
So I just think that we have to be able to have these good, long conversations about things. And we should be better listeners at our age than we are.
Than we are. Yeah, we don't do well with that. So we are going to take a break. That 20 minutes went by quickly. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with more Love Wins with Allison Benito.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
We're back with Love Wins with Allison Benito. All right, so today we're talking about love at 50. And, you know, this is beyond 52. But for me, this is where it was like this change. So 50 is like a life, what you call it? It's like a landmark age. You know, it's like a big deal.
Yeah.
And so this is where we start looking at what the second half of our life is looking like.
Would you say that turning 50, you realize more, maybe not realize, you're willing to not settle and you really know what you want?
You're talking to the queen of singledom over here. Absolutely.
She is a queen.
I don't have to settle. And I don't have to, you know, I think sometimes women, we put pressure on ourselves that we have to date one person. So I don't put that pressure on myself, you know, because I'm not in a committed anything. So I don't have to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. I mean, in the depth of my soul to be able to state, this is who I am. This is what I prefer. This is what I'm looking for. And if I don't have that, I'm okay.
Right.
Versus, you know, you had to make an accommodation. And now I'm up for compromise and making accommodations, but there's certain core things that I am not going to compromise on.
Yeah. And I think one thing, like when we get older, like when you're younger and you're looking for a mate, you're asking questions like, you know, do you want kids? You know, you like kids, you want a dog, you know, all these different things.
Right.
At 50, most of us are done with that.
Right.
You know, we're not looking for anybody to give us, to have children with any longer. You know, we may ask, like for me, I'm not interested. I shouldn't say this because the right person can make me interested, make me okay with it. But I'm not interested even in dating a person with young kids because I don't want a parent. But it's one little sweet little boy. I'll be his mama all day.
Yeah, I don't. I've dated women with younger children. And you know how we raise, we all raise our kids differently.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer to date someone who doesn't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
That is a preference. Having younger children, younger than a 14-year-old, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be darn near special, you know. and I've had, you know, one person who was in that category, but as I look back on it, again, I was settling. You know, why settle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
why were you settling? Did you feel like, you know, because you had like me, we've been in long-term relationships. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you would be more comfortable in one?
I settled because I thought she was worth me making some compromises.
And that, well, did that compromise include being willing to have a child?
Yes, it was.
And you were crazy behind, but that was a good idea.
I was trying to remain open. I was going to consider it. But, and that's, you know, so I'm not sure if this is good or bad, but now I'm more open now than I've ever been.
Okay.
And a part of me being open is reflecting, considering, thinking about certain things, having conversations, and say, hey, I'll think about that, you know, versus saying like, oh, heck no. So I'm not as definitive in my no. Now I'm like, okay, I'm open to it. We can talk about it.
Okay. And I think for me, it's kind of like the other way. I'm more definitive. It's like, nah, I ain't doing that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And this is what, you know, I mentioned on a show a long time ago about being in a committed relationship, you know, marriage, and not living in the same place. Mm. I'm open to so many things because I'm open to things because I'm not open to things.
Right.
So you understand what I'm saying? Like, there are things that I want. I need my peace. I need time to myself. And if it means we got to have two separate dwellings and, you know, we see each other mostly, but on the days where I ain't feeling you, I can go over here.
Yeah. You know, I think my view on marriage at this age is starting to evolve. Or even on, there was a time, I was telling somebody this, you know, I thought I had to be married in order to be an effective pastor. But the truth of the matter is, that was the only reason I was pursuing marriage,
okay. Right?
But now I realize what's most important to me is companionship. And I don't necessarily have to be married for that, mm-hmm. but just companionship. And if it leads to marriage, that's great. But my homegirl told me today, she sent me a meme, somebody as a sniper. She's like, you know, if you don't get married, if you told me to get married, she said, I'm snuffing you off. I'm letting you know right now. Because, you know, because I always talk about marriage and commitment, and I still believe in all that. But as I've gotten older, certain things, what's most important to me is my peace.
Yeah.
I just want peace.
And that's what came upon me at 50, I think, because me turning 50 coincided with my youngest turning 18.
Mm.
So even though, you know, young adults still need parenting sometimes, but it's different, you know, when they're 18. You can, like, make some steps back and leave a, you know, have a, take some of the net away, you know, because they're going to learn and they're doing some things. And so that was a different level of freedom for me. And then at the same token, I wasn't living in the house with my children. So it was like, you know, I'm living in North Carolina. I'm living in another state and they're here. And so we saw each other on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were here learning life and making some decisions here. I mean, y'all know, I was paying the bills, but they're learning and they're getting along and they're working and they're starting to think about what they want to do with their lives. So it's like, you know what? It's time for me to think about what I'm going to do with this new life I have.
I can't wait. I cannot wait until I have no children who I am financially responsible for. Or you can always be responsible for them. But I just can't wait till I'm up and able to just come and go as I please with no children.
Mm-hmm.
I love my children, love them to death. But I think in a perfect world, if I had stuck to what I had felt as a teenager, I would have never gotten married. I would never had any children. I should have traveled the world because that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
I never wanted to settle down. So now at 50, I don't mind being settled, but I don't want to be confined to one particular spot. I want to be able to move, you know, come and go as I please. And
yeah.
So, you know, it's just important to me now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just began thinking about this in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Last month, actually. I said last month. just thinking about like, what am I looking for?
And then some of that coming and going and that freedom, and you know, I feel like I have bumblebee wings on my back. You know, some of that freedom can be a hindrance too. You know, and it could be in a relationship. It's some of what I hear about the negative feedback. You know, when I take these brothers through the exit interviews.
You can't be controlled.
And when I take, you know, you always, you know, doing something and, you know, you're not ready to be settled. I can be settled with one companion. I can. However, I'm not ready to be planted.
You know, it's interesting how men, as they get older, they talk about how a woman's not settled, while women talk about men when they're younger are not settled.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Truth of the matter is, I don't ever want to be settled or complacent. I'm always going to be rooted, but I just sometimes men get on my nerves.
I think
men get on my nerves and their hypocrisy and their double standards. And I say that even speaking about myself, about some of the things that I said was just inconsistent with who I was. Like, why was I saying that? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my son, older son, he said some stuff, and he gets irritated. I want to say, just shut up.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're saying. Just shut up. You're talking too much.
But just like when your mother couldn't tell you what she was trying to tell you, you weren't listening because you felt like you know what you're supposed to be doing, they're not going to listen.
Karma is a son of a biscuit.
And so but I want to go back on that point that you were making about when women said, when women were saying that men wouldn't settle when they were younger, mm-hmm. and we were. And I think I agree with that. You know, when we're younger, especially those of us who had kids or have kids, you know, we were busy raising kids and going to PTA meetings and helping with homework and all that stuff. And so now when we're done with that, you know, we're ready now to kind of live. I remember my husband and I used to have these conversations. I used to get so mad at him because he didn't have to consider, like when he got off work, if he wanted to go to a happy hour or whatever, he went. It was never a thought about, you know, the kids. So I always had, you know, because I was always the one picking up the kids and going home. And
so that was me.
Yeah, I want to go to happy hour too.
Yeah, right.
You know, but this is
what I get these kids.
Yeah, this is what I have to do. I'm doing the kid thing. And so I used to get so frustrated with that. And so once it got to the point where I could, you know, the kids don't stay babies forever, you know, and when it gets to a point where you can and you do, you know, that you get that new liberation.
Yeah. As you were saying that, I got a little trigger. I got a little trigger because I, you know, while married, I was envious that here I am picking up the kids, making sure that their food is, you know, the dinner is, homework and stuff done, yada, yada, yada. And oftentimes, you know, it's like, well, that's what you should be doing as a father. I'm like, that's what women should be doing, right?
You said that?
I didn't say that, but I was definitely felt I was being effeminated because...
You're such a he-man.
I know, I am. But the truth of the matter, it should have been some shared duties.
Right.
I have a friend and they're married. And, you know, that they are, you know, most of us operate in traditional roles, right? And I get that we're in a new era, but as we get older, I just don't think that those traditional roles have served us well in terms of maintaining, you know, relationships with people who are intelligent, who are movers and shakers, and who want to do some things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if tradition has served us well.
You know, I think it can come back to kind of bite you in the behind because, you know, especially, all right, let's use our examples. But I mean, I don't know, this ain't a good example because you did those things for your kids. But like, when we think about, like with us, like my kids are definitely closer to me, you know, than they are to their dad. Mm-hmm. Always have, you know, and I think some of it comes from, you know, I did so much in terms of being the primary parent that they saw. You know, I'm taking you to school, picking you up from school, you know, if anything happened at school, I'm the one that's coming to the school. Right. You know, like as I mentioned, help with the homework. Even when we opened the stores, I had they were in the back of the store with me, you know, until once I got ready to go home or I could go home, they had, you know, they were with me. And so I'm the parent that they knew.
You know, it's and I think also too, one thing that I've never heard you do or say is you never, I never heard you, you know, I'm not going to say this, you know, put your ex-husband down.
Right.
Highlight his faults. You know, utilize, you know, what didn't go well to, you know, boost up your position. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes, you know, different spouses do that, especially women. Women do that oftentimes. But I think as you get relationships, you begin to realize what you did do, what you didn't do, because at the end of the day, you want everybody to be happy.
Right.
You want to be happy. You want your exes to be happy. You want your children to be happy, because you really want to just live your life, you know, and not just live your life, but live your best life.
And I think when we focus on us, like what we did, or like, you know, me, I only can account for Benita. So when I think about what Benita did or what Benita didn't do, you know, and I'm trying to be the better Benita, you know, I don't have no room to focus on him.
Right.
You know, I can't, you know, control who he is or what he is going to be in his next 50 years. So I did have, I just spent more time focusing on me and the children. And so, you know, you had the pleasure, and I put it in finger quotes, of meeting him this weekend. And, you know, and so you see, like, we get along just fine because we don't have the stressors that, you know, we had as a married couple.
Well, I mean, one, he was my tutor in my wine days.
Okay.
As I've said it to you, and I told him one other night that, you know, I wanted to be able to drink wine once I turned 50.
Okay.
That was one of my long-term
goals.
How's that going? Oh, it's going great. It's going great. But this will happen. It started much earlier. Someone would ask me, like, what made you start drinking wine? Because, you know, somebody, that's what old people do or females do. I'm like, really? Wine is about class. It's about status. It's about stature. It's about slowing up and learning and appreciating the finer things of life. Mm-hmm. You can't take a shot of wine.
Yeah.
You know? And so what kills me, again, I'm going back to a topic about love at 50. You can have a great conversation over a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. I don't know about, you know, beer. I don't know about liquor. You can, but there's something about having a great conversation over a great glass of wine.
Wow. I need to just take you with me because you are like the marketing guy for the Vine Wine Club. You're
amazing. I mean, it's amazing. And then I think, again, love at 50 requires you to slow things up, and introducing wine in the conversation makes you appreciate. I'm gonna say this may sound corny.
Okay.
When you're reflecting or you're thinking about relationships and love, and you have a nice glass of wine, and you're able to swirl the wine in the glass and look at it, you know, look at the legs on it, and you're able to reflect about what's important for you at this age. And I've been doing that so much lately. It's been a wonderful experience.
That's good.
It's been a wonderful experience. I mean, it's been a wonderful experience. Whether I'm alone with other people, it's been a wonderful experience.
So basically with wine, there's so many details.
Yes.
With wine, the
yes.
color.
Yes.
You know, the smell.
Yes.
The viscosity.
Yes.
That's when you swirl it around.
Yes. What's that called?
Viscosity.
Viscosity. Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Viscosity.
So many details. And that's beautiful, Elvis, because that's 50. It's like when we get to 50, we start paying attention to the
yes.
details.
Yes. And that's what relationship success is all about, is the details.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that's what a relationship at 50 is, or any relationship, any love. It's about the details, understanding mm-hmm. the details. Mm-hmm. And for me, wine is a love affair. It's I would sense somebody, they were like, oh, you're a pastor, you know, you're a mess, you don't drink wine. I'm like, you fool, Jesus.
And he had the good stuff.
He didn't
come with that mad dog. You know?
And so as religious people, we're so shallow and we're so immature as pertains to how to maintain a good, healthy life. And so for me, love is about wine. It's about sitting and having a great conversation and noticing the details and how somebody tell you what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So you just said the word again is
viscosity.
Viscosity. I just learned a new word today, y'all.
Love it.
So we want love. Say it again.
Love viscosity.
Love. Say it again. I can't even say it. Love viscosity. I want love viscosity. Isn't that something? Love, say it again.
Viscosity. Spell it out for you.
Please spell
it. I've got it right.
You're right, right there. I'm a literal person.
Yes.
But that's what it's all about, the details.
It's in detail.
Yeah, and in 50, we know what we want. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like white wine, but I tear up any kind of red.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't like white wine. I do like certain white wine.
We haven't found one that you like yet.
Yeah, but there's something about that red wine. Mm-hmm. And to me, it reminds me of love. It's just, I'm a hopeless romantic. I love love. I love talking about it. I love thinking about it. I just think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, our whole Gmail is about to blow up. Because women, a lot of women love you hopeless romantics.
Well, I am. But I'm also, you know, hey.
We'll come with the
Tams out. Hey, you know, ain't no punk in my blood.
I hear you.
But I just think as men, we don't have these kind of conversations, which require you to be vulnerable, it require you to be reflective, and it require you to be honest.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
That's what it's all about. So we need to take another break. Give us a few minutes, and we'll be right back with Love Wins with Alice and Benita.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music, the intersection of music and culture.
And we're back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. So last week we said we were going to do some questions. Let me check the email real quick and see if anybody responded to our question. I hadn't even checked the email.
No. One question I think is always interesting is, what is your definition of love?
That's so hard.
It is hard because we've been lied to. Like, I was talking to someone and she said that it takes you a long time to get to know a person. I said, no, it don't take that long. It don't take no 5-6 years to get to know a person. You know who a person is straight up when you really know who you are. And so the whole idea that, you know, I'm not sure you can ever really get to know a person.
I think to get to know a person, we have to take off the, what do you call it, the rose-colored glasses. But sometimes when we meet a person, we already want them to be a certain way.
Right.
And so that's what we're looking for. So we're ignoring all of the things that they aren't. We're just looking for, you know, it's like, oh, I want a tall man. It's like, okay, he tall. What you say? Say, I want a tall man with an athletic build. Okay. He's shaped like a sumo wrestler, but he's tall. So that's athletic, right? So I think, you know, sometimes we just look at
you want a woman with no weave, you know. You want long hair,
but you don't want it to be weave.
It ain't gotta be long. You just wanna be hers. You know,
it's gotta be hers.
Well, I guess what I was told, if I pay for it, it is mine.
That's right.
You know, someone told me, when you buy your clothes, you wear your clothes, aren't they yours? I'm like, yeah. She said, well, the same thing go for my hair.
That's right.
Okay. That's a good response.
That's right.
That's a good response. But at 50, you know, I have a right to my preference. You know?
You can have a preference.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to work or nothing, but,
right.
You know.
And I think at 50, we look at, you know, some of these things that have been our preferences, and we start to reevaluate.
Oh, no doubt. You have to. It's especially if you want to live a stress-free life, because there's one thing you can't do with a Black woman, or a white woman, what? Or Asian, or Latino, or purple, or alien woman, or, you know.
What is it that we can't do, that you can't do?
You have no dibs on their hair. No dibs.
That's right.
No dibs.
And so when did you learn that? Did you just learn that at 50?
Maybe.
So slow. You still learn on something.
I'm a little stubborn. Well, I think when you're raised around women as a man, you think you can say certain things.
Because your mama let you say it to her.
Oh, no. No, I don't care who. I'm going to say it anyway. But I just think that, you know, you can have a conversation. But, you know, you've had some success with women, you know, you can say certain things people are going to, you know, do what you're saying.
Everybody ain't listen to your Mac game. Right?
It ain't no Mac game. It's just conversation. It's just conversation.
My hair like I want to.
Right? Pretty much. It's my hair.
It's my hair.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So, all right. So, let's talk about this real quick. Some pop culture. WAP, double standards. So WAP is the song by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. So you get to acknowledge that there are some double standards in some of these conversations. So what I've seen over the last few weeks is, you know, men and women speak negatively, you know, this is ratchet, this is trifling, all these negative things about this song and the lyrics of this song. I look at it as a women's empowerment song. Because we own it, we can talk about it. Whereas men been talking about it and rapping about it and for decades. And I ain't just talking about hip hop. Been talking about it for decades, but it's okay when men have been talking about it. Clarence Carter, a whole daggone career about stroking. But it's okay when you talk about it.
I'm on the mindset. We're talking about Breonna Taylor. We're talking about Breonna Taylor and them not having arrested her, you know, her murderers
that's
yet.
That's a different show.
Yeah, but I think there's certain things that men are hypocritical on, and even women. As I said to somebody, you know, it's amazing how women want to talk about how a man's a dog, but not talking about how oftentimes women are raising a dog. I'm raising a man. And women have the right to say what they want to say and rap about, sing about, do anything they want. I mean, it's just, it's their body, it's their career. And I don't think that it's any of my business, honestly. Let them do them. Let them sisters do them. Now, as I was talking to my daughters about it, boy, oh boy, oh boy. They're like, Dad, it's just entertainment. It's no different than you listen to, whom are you listening to? And I'm like, so what do y'all think about it? You know, and you know, they start simulating some of the dances. I was like, oh Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
You're gonna be all right, Daddy. You're gonna be all right.
But the fact of the matter is it's a double standard. I think it's unfair to them, honestly, as artists, as entertainers. When Tupac was doing his thing, you know, it's come on now. If this is 2020, shut up and go sit down.
Somewhere. I was just listening to, I was playing my playlist yesterday, and a girlfriend of mine had come down from Baltimore. And so this Tupac song is in my playlist, Hit 'Em Up. And it's the explicit version. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's saying some stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and she's like, yeah, I ain't heard that song in a long mm-hmm. time, you know. But yeah, he says some stuff.
Future, Kevin Gates. Mm-hmm. I just think it's unfair. Well, I think one, because Cardi B, people don't, you know, she's so divisive.
She's polarizing. You like her or you don't.
Right. But that Megatron, the stallion, she's about 7 foot. She's a brilliant girl. I mean, if if you hear her talk about her music and where she came from, mm-hmm. she is very, very intelligent. Cardi B, to me, not so much.
Okay.
But Megan is a brilliant, she gonna be successful whatever she does. Just so happens she chose, you know, to be a, you know.
Well, that's what's selling. I mean, that's what's selling.
And that's what she said. She said she made a business decision. She saw everybody else was doing it. She felt like she could do it better. And
she's out here doing it.
She's doing it.
Go for her. That's what I said. I see it. It's woman empowerment.
Yeah.
I told somebody, I said, WAP, everybody came from one, and men trying to get back in it.
Whew. And that's been a great show.
Thank you for following us on Facebook. If you're not already, do it at Love Wins with Ellison Benito. Send us some comments on our show. You can hit us up on our email, lovewinswithellisonbenito@gmail.com. We want to thank the Black Talk Radio Network for having us. Thanks to Scotty Reed. And also thank you to Three Guys Talk and Smack and Listen to Music Radio Show on Live 365, where they stream 24/7. Thanks, Big P, for everything you do for Love Wins. All right? We good, Ellis?
We good.
All right,
peace and blessings, family.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at Love Wins with Ellis and Benita at gmail.com.